Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and the Lord appointed a fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, people are looking for all sorts of signs. When you're visiting a town that you're unfamiliar with, the first thing you look at is the street signs, obviously, to get your bearings and find out where you're going. Get a little bit of direction. In the Christian faith, people, it seems, are always looking for signs. Those who are especially caught up in the charismatic movement are always looking for those who will perform signs as verifications that they ought to follow those individuals. In other parts of life, we are looking for proofs too, aren't we? We want to be shown. I was talking with a fellow just this week about school matters. And he said, what kind of promises can you give me? I'm from Missouri. I have to be shown. I want some proof beforehand. Well, it always seems that way, doesn't it? In the little book of Jonah, we find that Jonah is a sign. A signpost in Scripture which points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason, it seems, one of the primary reasons for the presence of Jonah in the canon of Scripture. And I challenge you this morning to look at the sign of Jonah and not turn away, but to believe the sign of Jonah. Because as you believe the sign of Jonah, you will be drawn to faith in Jesus Christ. And if you turn away from the sign of Jonah, you will be turning away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so up front, I lay before you this morning that challenge. And as we look at the Scriptures and look at the purpose of Jonah being swallowed by this fish, pay attention to this sign because it is an important one. The Scriptures this morning tell us very plainly that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And you notice that the word which is given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is the word appointed. It means that God ordained or determined that this incident should take place. It does not mean that God created an unusual fish come along. God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah, ordained that a fish should swallow Jonah. Yes, God wanted Jonah thrown into the sea. And Jonah himself confesses that this is the fact. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, "For thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me." God had done this. And Jonah confesses that this is the fact. We also find that this fish is apparently not a whale. I am amazed time and time again how it is that in our contemporary scene, the stories of Scripture are portrayed by artists. A couple of weeks ago in our study of Exodus, we, in the adult class, looked at the fact that Moses had been placed in a basket. And usually when we see that portrayed in books for children, there is an open basket with a babe in that basket. But the Scriptures very specifically tell us that there was a cover on the basket. Of course, that wouldn't look very good in a picture, so the cover is omitted. But the Scriptures are not portrayed properly. And very often it's the same thing here, isn't it? That we have the picture of a whale. But it apparently was not a whale. If you look at the New Testament here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, and we'll refer to this text more than once. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, it says, "And for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus specifically calls this great fish a sea monster, and it was probably a very large shark, or what has been called a sea dog, which is very prevalent in the Mediterranean Sea. Now, if you've seen the picture Jaws and have in your mind that vivid illustration of a great shark, maybe that's a little bit closer to what we're looking at here. And it's a frightful thing. A great sea dog or a huge shark. And the commentators tell us that it is not unusual for this great fish found in the Mediterranean to swallow things whole, as large as a man. And there have even been testimonials of this type of fish swallowing a man and later that man being taken out of that very same fish alive. This is no myth, folks. This is a story in which God, the scriptures tell us, appointed this great shark or sea dog, this sea monster, to swallow a man, Jonah. And it's interesting that this fish might very well have been present commonly in a great storm such as that which was raging at the time on the surface of the Mediterranean. Go back then to Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Yes, thrown into the deep, thrown into the sea, Jonah is swallowed. And as far as the sailors were concerned, now becalmed on the surface of that sea in their ship, Jonah was gone forever, dead. That's how they understood it. But God had other designs. And it seems to me this is the point. God did have other designs. He did appoint this fish to preserve Jonah. And in this way, God was saving Jonah. Does this seem strange to you and to me? Perhaps it does. That God should move in such extraordinary ways to have a man thrown overboard in a great storm in the middle of the Mediterranean by a bunch of sailors and then appoint a great fish to come along and swallow this man. Does this seem strange? Sure it does. And that's why many, many will say, this is a nice story. But you don't have to believe it. Oh yes, there are truths which are taught by this story, but in essence, it's a myth. Don't believe it, folks. Look again at what Jesus has to say in Acts, or in Matthew, I should say, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. Because this is a challenge. Jesus is speaking. And he says, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Did Jesus believe this story about Jonah? You bet he did. And if you do not believe this story about Jonah, you do not believe Jesus. And I hope there are none of you here this morning who are taking that step and saying, well, Jesus may have been mistaken. No, he was not mistaken. And he could not have been mistaken. And so you see, the problem we face is very plain, that if you reject the story of Jonah, you also, in the same breath, reject Jesus. And if you reject Jesus, you reject the way of salvation and eternal life. Do not do that, my friends. Do not do that. And so why we may ask. Why does God appoint a fish to swallow Jonah? Why does God want Jonah cast into the sea? How would you answer that question? I dare say that you would probably answer this question by saying, well, Jonah was a rebellious prophet. He was a prophet, a man who needed to be brought to repentance. And so God brings this man, Jonah, to repentance by casting him into the sea. Jonah was unwilling to heed his command, that is, God's command to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel, to bring that great city to repentance. And so now God was reacting to Jonah and had Jonah cast into the sea. While I must admit there is some truth to this line of reasoning, but it does not seem to me to be the essence of what takes place. And for a couple of reasons, I say this. It was not when Jonah was swallowed by this great fish that he was brought to repentance, but before he was swallowed by this fish that he was brought to repentance. Look again at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 12, for instance. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. Jonah already knew he was the guilty one. And Jonah was already in the midst of confessing his sin before God and before these sailors. He was already at the place of repentance. And he did not need, as it were, further punishment. Jonah knew what the story was. Jonah knew that the wages of sin is death. Jonah knew that. And that's, as we have said, why he tells these sailors to pick him up and cast him into the sea. I wonder if you know that this morning, that the wages of sin is death. Do you really understand that? Do you really understand this morning that those so-called white lies are not pleasant in the sight of God? That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? That the wages of sin is death? Jonah understood that. You see, Jonah had already been brought to repentance. And here's another consideration. The prayer which we find in chapter 2 of Jonah is not a prayer for repentance, but it is actually a prayer in which Jonah gives thanks for a deliverance which is already received. Look, if you would, at a couple of verses in chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 2. I called out in my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depths of Sheol. Thou didst hear my voice. Look at that. Verse 6. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. You've done it, Lord. These are words of thanksgiving for a deliverance which has already occurred. In verse 9, but I will sacrifice to thee with a voice of thanksgiving that which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. You could compare with that Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, David, after he has sinned, cries out to the Lord and says, Lord, in sin I was conceived. And he cries out for forgiveness before God. And there's a real contrast there. Psalm 51 and chapter 2 of Jonah are really miles apart. You see, Jonah is a man who has already been brought to repentance. And there's a lesson here too, isn't there? That when an individual sins, he or she will never escape the consequences of that sin. Jonah knew that the consequences were to be cast into the sea. And we need to learn that lesson too, that we will never escape the consequences of our own personal sin. No, there is something more here. Something more profound, it seems. Look in your Bibles with me at Luke chapter 11 and verses 29 and 30. And let's see again what Jesus says about Jonah. Luke chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. And as the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation." Do you catch those words of Jesus? Jonah was being made a sign to the Ninevites. This is what Jesus tells us, very specifically. And what is a sign? A sign is an attesting miracle. You remember in John chapter 2 when Jesus turned the water into wine, the scriptures tell us that this was the first miracle. This was the first sign which he performed. And it was intended to verify the fact that he was indeed the Messiah. It was an attesting miracle. He was a man of God. And the result of that sign was in John chapter 2 that many disciples believed in him. And so we find in Luke chapter 11 and verse 30, "For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites," Jonah was a man, a prophet of God, who was used of God in a very peculiar way. He was to become an attesting miracle to the Ninevites, to a city of people. God was making him into this. And I tell you, this is why he was thrown into the sea and why he was swallowed by this great fish. He was being made into a signpost for people to see. And I'll tell you what, when the story hit the streets of Nineveh that a man had been swallowed by a fish and had been vomited out on the seashore, they may have laughed. But then when Jonah came walking through that city of Nineveh preaching the word of God, they no longer laughed. What do the scriptures tell us in Luke chapter 11? Verse 31. "The queen of the south shall rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." When Jonah went through that city, and that city was converted, and men and women heard the word of God from the lips of Jonah, and that sign of Jonah was attested in the preaching of the word of God, and men and women were converted, a wonderful thing took place. God was making a sign out of Jonah. And it's interesting, as we go back again to Matthew chapter 12, what does it tell us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 again? "For For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus says, just as Jonah came back from the grave, so will I come back from the grave. You're looking for a sign? Oh no. The sign's already been given. It's been written bold in Scripture. God prepared it long ago. Jonah went into the belly of the sea monster and he came forth. The resurrection is true. And I will go into the grave for 3 days and three nights, and I too will come forth. And if you don't believe in the sign of Jonah, will you believe in me? Will you? That's the challenge. A little earlier, we read some scripture from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 16. Let me go back there. Luke chapter 16 and verse 31. You know the story. It's a familiar one. The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man in all of his splendor dies and is buried. Lazarus, the poor man who had been at the gate of the rich man and only wanted crumbs from the rich man's table. The dogs came and licked his sores. Not a pleasant sight. He cries out and says, Abraham, Abraham, send Lazarus back to my household, to my brothers, and tell them, warn them, so that they won't come to this place of torment. And Jesus says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Folks, one of those prophets is the prophet Jonah, whom God, in a peculiar and special way, designed to be a signpost in Scripture pointing to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning? Is He your hope of glory? Jonah is pointing you in that direction. Because just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so the Son of Man was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he came forth and was declared with power, as Paul says, to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Here is the essence of our faith. There is no Lord Jesus Christ without this resurrection. And Jonah is a signpost in Scripture pointing to Him. And if you don't believe in Jonah, Jesus says, you won't believe in me. And that's the way it is. And that's really why I started out as I did, with that simple challenge to say, yes, Lord, I accept what you've done in the life of Jonah. He is a sign to me of your power and love and grace. And as I see him picture the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can believe in this Christ who is my Lord. That should be your position. And if it's true that you stand on that position and understand Jonah as a sign for you, pointing you to Jesus, you will be all the more prepared to follow him and say to others, yes, I serve a risen Savior. He is my Lord. And I will serve him for the rest of my life. And if you don't believe Moses and the prophets, you're in trouble. But it can be just the opposite. Trust the Word of God and come to Christ. He is real. He is the Savior. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jonah. And we thank you that he points us to the Lord Jesus. It's not a fabrication. It's a truth of Scripture. And may you so work within our hearts this sign of Jonah, that we too will understand him and therefore understand the Lord Jesus better. Work in us to that end, we ask. Do it to your name's sake and for your honor and glory, we pray. Amen.